and welcome to one of our special editions of Holy Week. Here as we're getting ready for Easter and celebrating Easter, I'm your host, Kerry Mielstein, and I'm so glad to have with me my dear friend and colleague and fantastic scholar and all-around guy, George Pierce, who's been on the program before, and you should go listen to all the episodes that have George in it. Welcome, George. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So this week we are trying each day to learn something about the traditions of other of our Christian cousins, other faith traditions, and how they celebrate Holy Week, and in particular, something about each week. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your faith background, and then just about, well, let's just start there. Tell us a little bit about your faith background.
All right, no problem. So I grew up in the Baptist church as part of an independent Baptist tradition, which throughout the South, you have kind of two versions. You have a Southern Baptist, which is part of the Southern Baptist Convention, and then you have independent Baptists, which are not part of a convention at all. And so most of my life was independent Baptist. My dad was the pastor of a church for a while. My uncle is still a pastor of an independent Baptist church in Vidalia, Georgia. And so that's the sort of tradition that I grew up in. When I went to college, I started going to a Bible Presbyterian church, which is different from the Presbyterian Churches of America or the Presbyterian Church USA. So two different sort of things. But Bible Presbyterian church, very small group. And then in grad school, I started going to Anglican church. So it kind of sort of ramped up in terms of high church type of situations and liturgy and things like this. But
and you were going to schools that were religious schools, kind of the BYUs. Yes. of those religious traditions, right?
Yes. So I went to an undergraduate school that was, although they maintained that they were independent and non-denominational, most of the people there were either Baptist or Presbyterian. And then in grad school, again, I went to a non-denominational school, Wheaton College. And there I attended Anglican-like churches here in the U.S. When I went to the University of York in England, I attended Anglican church. And at UCLA, I went back to a Presbyterian church because my roommate was attending that church, and several of my colleagues in the department were also attending. So it made it easier for all of us to go to church together.
Yeah. Oh, nice. And then you started investigating the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And
yes. And so one of my colleagues at UCLA, Crystal Lourdes, was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, still is. And one of our colleagues. So just in talking to her and investigating things, then through the work of the Holy Ghost and her quiet missionary, like living the gospel, I eventually joined the church in June of 2009. And so I was baptized in LA.
And then you teach now in the same department I teach in, and yes, and we cause trouble together. So
that's absolutely correct. Yes.
Yeah. So, well, wonderful. We're grateful you'd spend time with us. It really is meaningful. So why don't you tell us a bit about what Holy Week or Passion Week meant for you growing up? Well, let's say this. I think that many of our audience, they hear Baptist and in the South, and that's mm-hmm. pretty Baptist, would equate this with evangelical. What would your response be to that?
I would say, yeah, I mean, evangelical, not as, how should I put this? Very conservative. Let's put it this way. So very conservative, evangelical, sort of traditional value and sort of sermons reflected on Jesus and repentance and all the things that we'd sort of like think of. Traditional hymns, so not so much what we call praise and worship music with electronic instruments or bands or things like that. So that was my sort of upbringing, if you will. So very conservative, traditional in that sort of sense. And so shifting to a Presbyterian church wasn't huge procedurally, let's put it that way, or liturgically, I think is the best sort of word for it. especially ones that I was going to. Theologically, it was a little bit different in terms of how the church is sort of governed and thoughts about atonement, but nothing wild with that. And so even shifting to an Anglican high church model with a bishop and a liturgy and all the rest of these readings and things like this per day, it kind of just sort of like worked in that sort of sense. And so maybe the shift to being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is probably much more of a liturgical shift and a theological shift in sense of that. But evangelical, yeah, I could say that just because of the focus on mission and the focus on bringing others to Christ. So it kind of worked in that sort of sense.
Wonderful. So with that kind of background, tell us about Passion Week for you.
So Passion Week, so growing up Baptist, Passion Week didn't really sort of fit much into things. We always had a Palm Sunday, and typically it would be what we would call primary in our church. The kids in the Sunday school or in junior church, there would be a little parade with the palm fronds, which are easy to get in Florida. So that was the sort of payoff there. So Palm Sunday, we always had something and mentioning Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and the kids would come in and parade with their palm leaves. And that was about it, because in the churches that I grew up in, our focus was really getting to Easter, and we would not really have, we would not really have a whole lot of anything until Saturday night. And that's because we typically had a Sunday morning sunrise service for Easter. So we would be out there at usually about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, waiting for the sun to come up. And so we would start the sort of hymns and prelude and all kinds of other things just prior to sunrise. And then just about sunrise, then that's when we'd have our sermon about Easter, and it'd be this whole sort of like celebration. That's all right. All those things, which is great. Because then you end church somewhere around 7 a.m. and you're fine for the rest of the day. So, that was my experience growing up. Within the Anglican Church, Tuesday of Holy Week, Holy Tuesdays, it's kind of called, was a little bit different, because every single day of Passion Week has certain readings or certain sort of emphases. And so, with that, we sort of like look to the traditional timeline of Jesus' time in Jerusalem during the Passion Week. And so the readings for Holy Tuesday from the Bible involve things that either are about Jesus' teachings or the confrontation about paying taxes to Caesar or something. And it's really kind of interesting. The readings that I have a list here, because I had to go back and look just to see like what the readings were. The readings come from Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 7, which is really kind of interesting, talking about the servant of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, talking about the cross and how God uses the cross to confound the wisdom of the world. John chapter 12, with the Greek disciples looking for Jesus. And then Psalm 71, which also talks about the servant of the Lord. And of course, when we think about Holy Tuesdays, is probably the day of the Olivet Discourse. And so Matthew 24, 25, we're also kind of key in that. And so really in the Anglican tradition, it's about reflecting on what's going to happen in the rest of the week. It's about preparing for the solemn events of the next few days. But I think it's interesting because the scripture readings within that church and the tradition, the prayers, the hymns that are sung, they focus on vigilance and on service and on the nature of Christ's kingdom and the coming of the kingdom of heaven because of everything. So it's really kind of interesting to think about vigilance and service in light of thinking about the events of Jesus' week and how it's going to be leading up to the crucifixion and eventually the resurrection. And I think that's it. It's really cool how it ties in with the kingdom of heaven and how he's establishing that and did establish this and then appears as its risen Lord and King. So I think it's a really kind of neat sort of tradition, or at least a set of readings for that sort of day. I think that's a good thing there. It's also called Fig Tuesday because it's the day that he cursed the fig tree. So maybe if we had some fig Newtons on that day, it would be appropriate or something.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It is. So I often think like going to, because he's teaching in the temple, is a great thing to do. And, reading the Olivet. So Joseph Smith Matthew, I think, is a fantastic, activity, and focusing on how, what he is about to do is a great, is in some ways preparing for his coming again, that we're focusing on now, because we're in between the first and second.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, those are fun.
Yeah. I think for Latter-day Saints and members of the church, we could call it Temple Tuesday. And just thinking about how visiting the temple, going inside to do proxy ordinances, even just walking around the grounds with younger children, and taking time to reflect on the house of the Lord, and on Christ's gospel, I think it's really great, because in the gospels, we see that people have questions. So of course there's like the religious leaders who have questions, and they're right. Who do we pay taxes to, Caesar, or right? Are you trying to like overthrow that? Or the disciples, the Greek disciples come and they say, we want to see Jesus, right? They come to Philip and they want to see him. Or even the disciples himself in Matthew 24:25, Joseph Matthew, ask about what's going to be the sign that you return. And so I think it's appropriate to go to the temple, whether we go inside to do ordinances or we stay outside, and we just bring him questions and prayerfully reach out to Heavenly Father and commemorate kind of Temple Tuesday that way, to say, here are some questions that I have, and here's, you know, where I'm at, and just rely on him to give us the answers, just like Jesus did in the Gospels. I think you're right on with thinking about his return, because reading through Joseph of Matthew helps us to think about that. And President Oakes, I have this quote from President Oakes. He said, quote, "What if the day of his coming were tomorrow? If we knew that we would meet the Lord tomorrow, what would we do today? We need to make both temporal and spiritual preparations for the events prophesied at the time of the second coming." And so I think going to the temple on Tuesday helps us to have sort of a hope and anticipation of the return of Messiah and the peace that his millennial reign will bring. So I think it's a really good sort of point there.
Ah, wonderful. And I love that phrase, Temple Tuesday. I think that's what I'm going to call it from now on.
Yeah, Temple Tuesday is a great thing.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I love, I mean, I think in some ways, the background you talked about growing up with is similar to members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, where, although we haven't traditionally done a lot for Palm Sunday, but and sometimes people think about things on Thursday, but mostly it becomes a kind of a little bit Saturday, mostly Sunday celebration, or it has been in the past. But I have felt like for a number of years now, our leaders are urging us to do more to prepare for Easter Sunday throughout the entire Holy Week. And this is a great part of that. So thanks for sharing your time with us, spending some time with us. I'll just remind our audience that we've got resources for you on our Patreon website, tsar.website, where you can have some readings for each week, suggestions of things to do, some old podcasts that my wife and I did about things that happened each day of the week in the New Testament story. You can get my book on Easter Connection. It's now available as an audiobook for like a couple bucks or something. I don't know. So that could help you, especially that focuses on like the Thursday through Sunday. Anyway, those are some resources that are available, but I hope this helps you. I mean, the temple is the best resource that's available for you today. So I hope you'll take advantage of that, as Dr. Pierce has urged us to. Thank you, Dr. Pierce.
All right. Thank you.